11 minutes off 10 o'clock this morning, and you're on ABC Central West, Alex James with you on a Friday morning, and we've got just enough time to catch up with one of our vets. Dr. Ryan Lane is from Orange Vet Hospital. Hello, Dr. Lane.
Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Oh, I'm going pretty well, thank you. Apparently, we're talking about knees today.
I think it's a big topic in the hospital this week, so I thought, why not? We've had a few patients in with some knee issues, so I thought
really?
It was a good thing to talk about. Yeah.
Okay. So when we're talking patient, I mean, are we talking dogs? I'm just assuming dogs. Is dogs right?
Yeah, dogs are the big culprits of it, much like our athletes, soccer players, AFL players. The ACL in the human is pretty well the equivalent of the cranial cruciate ligament of the dog, and it's the weakest point of the limb, I guess. And when things go pop, that's generally the problem.
Right. Yeah. So dogs are doing their ACL.
Yeah,
their dog version of
the
ACL.
Dog version, yeah, exactly right. So it's a, right. I mean, when you look at the structure of a dog's leg, they got lots of muscle and tendons, and I mean, there's four major ligaments of the knee, and the cruciate is the smallest one of, and the weak point. And yeah, when there's large amounts of pressure put through it from jumping off a ute or running around chasing a ball, fast turning, just like athletes that are chasing footballs or whatever they are, sometimes golf balls if you're not very good at golf like me. But it's just a problem that we see quite a lot, and I think it's just something always important for people to be aware of, and I suppose how we can slow that process down in relation to trying to limit it occurring.
Sure. Are there certain breeds that are more likely to do the ACL?
Yeah, definitely.
So I shouldn't call it that. We
can call
cruciate.
It that. The cruciate. The we cruciate. Call it the cruciate. I think importantly, the word cruciate, I always love the etymology of word. The word cruciate means to cross. So there's two ligaments in that knee, and both ones are caudal cruciate ligament, one's cranial, and they cross like an X.
Perfect.
So that's where the term cruciate comes from. It's to cross. So
okay, to cross.
If anyone remembers the word cruciate from today, they don't know
for trivia next week.
For trivia next week, maybe you could put it in there.
The
breeds, definitely there are a few that are predisposed to it.
Sure.
I mean, this week we've had a few larger breed dogs that have come in and ruptured that ligament, which is frustrating for clients as well. Some of them can be quite young, some of them are quite old, or all in between. Don't get me wrong, I think last week I diagnosed a smaller Maltese dog with the same injury.
Oh, really?
It was about 6 kilos, so it can happen to all of them. But I think it's sort of like I always use car analogy because I'm a bit of a car guy. It's sort of like driving a truck around versus a Volkswagen. You know, in a big truck, there's lots of pressure on the wheels and the suspension because there's more weight. So things can, I suppose, go wrong more often in bigger things and smaller things.
Sure. Okay. So more often, but as you say, it's the Volkswagen can still have an issue, but it's more often the bigger ones. You mentioned as well before jumping off trucks. I mean, is that generally jumping off utes rather? Is it not trucks? Thank God. Is it generally? Is it an active injury? So if a dog is someone who, a working dog, are they more likely to get the injury?
I would say the more active animals, things like your French bulldogs and things that are lazy and sleep for 23 hours a day. I mean, they're generally not doing as much actively, but things like, cattle dogs and, Kelpies can do it as well, I guess. The good part about a lot of work dogs, I guess, is they're quite lean. Weight is a big factor in this situation. The more pressure on the knee, the more likely it is to have an issue. So, there's a few other factors, I guess. I think being overweight as well is probably a thing we see a lot. We will see dogs, coming to the clinic, a Labrador is a classic example, and it's 15 kilos heavier than it should be. And in your head as a clinician, you see that dog and you know that it's a ticking time bomb to do a knee.
Really?
They don't always do them, don't get me wrong. But you try to then educate the client on, all right, this is what we've got to do. We have to lose weight to limit that risk. And the big thing from, I suppose, what I practice is that I'm trying to limit the pathology and therefore the expenditure for the client. Financial guilt is a huge thing in our world because nothing really comes for free. So if I can save my clients money in the long run by their dog not doing their knee, well, I've done a good job.
Especially if they're bringing them in before it happens, right?
Yeah,
that's the key.
Exactly.
It's like anything, most things, the prevention is better than the cure, I'm assuming.
Rather than cure.
Right.
Exactly right.
So you mentioned weight. I mean, are there other predisposed, I guess, factors apart from weight, or is weight the main thing?
Breed is one as well. There's a lot of literature behind breeds that are more predisposed to it. Definitely. I mean, look, like I said, Chihuahuas can do it, and so can a Great Dane. So there's a genetic component to it. Having the dog grown properly and fed properly on appropriate foods when they're young can contribute to that.
Okay.
And I suppose the level of fitness, just like us. I mean, I haven't played footy or rugby union in many years, and if I was to get in a football field, it's quite likely that I would injure something, whether it be a muscle or a ligament. So I think having those dogs fit, you know what I mean, and exercising them regularly, keeping that musculature nice and strong can certainly help, obviously to a point. But that's another contributing factor. But yeah, the growth phase of a dog is always important. You know, every week in every clinic, there are animals that come in that are on diets that have been suggested by breeders or Google. And I always sort of educate people that it's, you know, you got to be careful with what you're feeding them, because particularly with the calcium and phosphorus in what they're eating can be incorrect. Their bones can grow incorrectly, and you can you can create issues in that way as well. So it's always important, I think, to seek information from appropriate sources. It's probably the take-home message there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I mean, I know that when we've spoken about things that go wrong in dogs before, it's not often obvious what's wrong with them. Is this the same with a knee? Like, are there ways that you can tell that it might be, they might have hurt their knee?
Definitely. So the ligament itself doesn't have to completely snap. You know, it can be what we call a partial tear. And those dogs can present just for, you know, a bit of an abnormal gait or the odd limping. You know, if they're limping a little bit and people say, oh, look, it's had a bit of a limp, but, you know, I'm not going to take it in. And then the ligament does go, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So I think there's a lot to learn from being cautious. And I always say to clients, and a lot of clinicians do, in that there's no harm in clients being over the top. Sometimes they'll say things like, oh, I'm sorry I've wasted your time. Never. Mm. It's always the other end of the spectrum when people don't bring you those animals and the animals have suffered for extended periods of time where you could have prevented that. So I'm always happy to look at a healthy animal and educate them on, you know, the risks involved with something like a knee or whatever it may be.
And it sounds like it's not the case where if it's snapped, it's gone. There are treatment options available?
Oh, definitely. Certainly, a surgery, once they have ruptured, is, you know, pretty well the be-all and end-all. Some of them can, you know, fibrose up and heal and be managed medically, again, in the smaller patients. In the bigger guys, though, there's a lot of, you know, surgical requirements, and that comes at a cost. Depending on the size of the animal, the surgery might be able to be completed in our hospital, but once they get sort of above a threshold of weight, they then have to go to Sydney.
Okay.
We have to refer them to specialists to have their knees fixed. And cost-wise, I mean, everyone knows what vet bills can cost, but a knee in a giant breed dog in Sydney can be $5,000-$7,000 job. So not a cheap process.
No, not at all. Dr. Lane, thank you as always.
Thank you very much.
That's Ryan Lane there, who's a vet at Orange Vet Hospital, talking to us a bit about your dog's knees.